When I was a child, I was bought this book. It was one of those ones that had the questions and the dotted line provided for four-year-old scribbling to shine a light on inclinations of who this kid will be or for an adult version of me. Learning of who I am now is what I wanted to achieve. One question asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And with imagination and red crayon in place, I left a trace of what of this world at that time I understood. And all I simply put is, I want to be good. I was running around, green knees ablazing from my stripy calf-length socks. Those knees took more knocks than the first aid room on a Friday afternoon. The grass was soft, and that cut was from yesterday. But the I've been brave sticker was far too tempting. And for the third time that week, I swaggered through my front door, brandishing my badge and all that it stood for, and the piece of paper trying to explain why my cut had already healed. But my lips were sealed. I came home with so many of those letters, I could have made a barrel of confetti, hole-punching the paper so I could shower in my fearless glory. But my celebration became soggy in the rain. So I lied. I mean, it was a fib. For that kid that wanted that sticker stuck to her school jumper, who doesn't love stickers? That made me feel good. Don't you want to be good? The canteen is an oversized porter cabin belonging to no era of design. There are two sets of glass windows, allowing almost no space for light to shine, and it is full of teenage girls. It smells of overcooked chips and the need for acceptance. She creates a head at this table, though it is round. I fiddle with my tomato pasta that Doreen slopped onto my plate not too long before, bored of the sound of this girl's awful voice and the allegiance her gang gives her, seemingly with no choice.
Millie?
What? Why is she addressing me? Right, because apparently a girl from year 9 who'd previously said she'd hated me seems to hate her too. She looks at me with that tightrope smile and asks me if I'll graffiti on the toilet wall, exposing a harsh critique of someone I didn't even know, convincing me she needed to be pushed off balance. This isn't really what I want to do. I tried to not look down, and with the need for acceptance and red crayon in place, I left a large trace of this girl and the bad words at that time I understood. I'm not really sure whether this is being good. But for the first time, I swaggered through that canteen door, brandishing my badge and all that it stood for, and an allegiance from a gang I'd had no interest in before. It seems I made it to the other side. I saw the advert on Gumtree. £100 a day for flipping burgers seemed okay, so I went for it. I made myself look smart and started the journey to meet the boss. She was a woman of my shared confidence, and I could tell we'd hit it off. She started explaining the nature of the work, and halfway through she paused.
You're very pretty. You'll do just fine.
I couldn't quite understand the fine line between my face and flipping meat. So on my first day, I wore the largest jumper I could find, bound a cap that covered my unmade-up eyes, and hoped the hat would hide the tiredness in my mind. She looked like she'd seen the ghost of her ungroomed self, flashing back a couple of hours before she claimed her face from off the shelf, and she said,
there's a spare tight top and time to put some makeup on the trailer behind.
I explained I didn't need to look a certain way and as politely as I could declined. Even in this field, hidden behind buckets of grease, a woman of my own respect expected me to live up to this. I will leave the house without my face on, so you cannot recognise me for your artificial good. Making up a moral compass to selling meat whilst you try and flip my face on your grill. What would you do? She turned away. An unbreakable awkwardness of two adult women. The place was swimming with the smell of overcooked chips and no need for acceptance. He looks alive. There are 7 beds in this room, all pharmaceutically dressed, though hers seems to shine slightly brighter than the rest, and her hands are warm. I'm torn between staying by her side or going with a consultant to find out the state of a mind I never thought could be quantified. The hangover is burning the backs of my eyes. That must be why I'm crying. I grow up, and in a moment, I embody everything my mum has taught me, trying not to trip as I tiptoe in shoes that are far too big for my feet. He says to expect the worst. We haven't eaten since yesterday, and the only place open is Burger King. Burnt chips seem to be the only thing the disinfectant can't cover, and the unwelcome smell makes my eyes water further, and all I can say is, please, can we leave? My uncle is driving 85 down the A27, but I feel as if we're not moving. The shell of his white van creates a portal to where time stops, and I want to live in this space of no consequence. I look out of the passenger window, using every ounce of me to stop my eyes from darting to the left. And though it distracts me from this overwhelming feeling in my chest, I know it is impossible. And so I watch the trees roll the reel of my mother and me. A film of nature versus nurture. What I would do to crawl back inside of yesterday, where my birthday was 1 week on and working out how to smuggle a litre of London dry gin in through the festival gates was the largest puzzle I had to piece. My face feels like it is leading way before my thoughts, and it answers the question my expression asks when my words are unwilling.
You should still go.
And then I'm here. Boomtown. I've been crying. On and off since I got off the festival bus, and the piece of glitter stuck in my eye is giving me a hands-free kaleidoscope. To be fair, I could be seeing this without the glitter. I am cranking, crying and skanking, and overtly thanking everyone for looking after me whilst I am here. 3 phones to make sure there's no way I can't hear if something happens to my mum. And everyone is telling me how they've been floored with my strength to still come. But I don't understand. There is more bravery stuck between soggy pieces of confetti made from lies. And so I use my tears to fuel my own celebration. Drum and bass music blaring, a sparkly blur lost in the thoughts of your creation whilst trying to shake out every ounce of the inside that still hurts. Did I do the right thing? When I was a child, I was bought this book. And I answered those questions in the best way that I could. I think I am learning what it is that I want to achieve. I want to be good. I want to be good. By Millie Wood Downey, was a Call in the Shots production for New Creatives, supported by Arts Council England and BBC Arts. The producer was Joelle Taylor. The executive producer was Jeremy Rutledge.